Blog Talk Radio.
Perfect driving record.
Until one of you puts the food truck.
Then your rates go through the roof. Perfect. For drivers with accident forgiveness, Liberty Mutual won't raise your rates due to your first accident. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
All right. Hey, I knew y'all liked that one because that one called me. Well, I don't know this number too well. Dr. Punnell's office. It's all good. I sent the message off, but right now I'm on the air on radio.
Okay.
I sent the message off, so I should hear somebody tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. Yes, yes, yes. That was one of the artists looking for the chair. But just as everything is, everything goes, everybody wants to be in their own yard of contentment. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Everybody got to be there. You know, you done worked so hard for something, or you done did something. So, you know, it's the same thing like I was just about to talk about tonight on the air. Because, you know, I'm myself, I'm a creature of habit. You know, I continually try to put myself in win-win situations. All of us love, you know, an atmosphere of pure contentment. And since we all have a different opinion about what brings us joy, there's differences. We've been knowing that sometime. Daylight hit. Daylight hit, sunlight started going in, it started getting dark. You got a different range of what you do after that. You know what I'm saying? Some go home to their wives, some go home to their families. Others go do something else and whatever, but it's something that you choose to do rather than what other folk want you to do. So, you know, ain't nothing wrong with that. That's just what they said, what them young dudes said. It's all good. So then why, oh why, should you get upset because my level of contentment don't take all of the necessary partying and drinking and whatever that yours do. And I don't complain about yours. But, you know, you continually want to discuss mine, and mine ain't your business. You know what I'm saying? So all I'm trying to say is, you get your happiness the way you want to. I get my happiness the way I want to. And we continue being cordial of whatever it is that we are. You know what I'm saying? As long as it don't take us having to publicly discuss my business or your business about nothing. You know what I'm saying? Okay. With all that being said, don't ask me about my money, I won't ask you about your money. Don't ask me about my dog, I won't ask you about your dog. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Well, all right, now that we got that fine line, yeah, you know, because everybody's business ain't nobody's business. That's just about it. That's just about, that's almost surmises it to a nutshell. You know, put it up for the winner. Think about it when you get it. It ain't winter yet. So we'll holler on that. But, yeah. You know, some of the things that we go through in life, and I try to tell people all the time, I asked some strangers about their contentment, so to speak, by asking had they ever been to the fair. You know, State Fair of Texas is a tradition here in the state of Texas for school children and, you know, older folk that enjoyed those days and whatever else. And, you know, so it's just a question. You know, it's a question that you ask. And some people say, well, yeah, I went. It was my first time ever going, little Oriental lady. I don't know really what to call her, Korean or Japanese. So I just say Oriental. If I'm out of order, please forgive me. But anyhow, because she's a friend. You know, I never asked her, are you Korean or are you Japanese? or anything like that. I'm pretty sure she'll tell me one day after we get a little closer. We just talking right now. And so she said, well, yeah, I went last year for the first time. Ooh, and I loved it. And now I'm going to take my parents this year, my mother and my father. I said, ooh, well, see, that's great. You know, it's a lot of people that haven't experienced the State Fair of Texas. And so I like enlightening people that's never done that. So I explained to her that I'm doing some sponsoring for the State Fair of Texas this year, and I'd like to invite her and her parents to the fair. She said, huh? I said, well, you know, since you had such a wonderful experience last year, I'd like for you to go to the fair on me, but there's a contingency. She said, what is that? I said, you have to take some pictures of how excited your parents would get at the fair. You know, what if they ride something, if they eat something, you know, just show me some new faces and things at the fair park. She said, oh, yes, oh, of course, of course. She said, I know, because I know it's going to be great. You know, I loved it, and I'm pretty sure they'll love it. You know, stuff like that. I can't sound like her. I can't even express like she was expressing, because, you know, she's a tech, and she was happy to explain to me that she loved the State Fair of Texas. So with that being said, I said, well, let me try somebody else. You know, this is better than what I thought it would be. You know, and I'm going over to a couple of barbershops this week, whereas I can try to see if I can find someone older or younger that haven't been, you know, for any reason in particular, but just I'm going because my family go every year and whatever else, and that's still going, and that I can surprise and get to take some pictures and send them back to me and stuff, and whatever. So with that being, I've asked a few different people, some of which has never been, some not going, and all of that. Yes, I got some quick turn downs from a couple of folk that they just don't go. Just never have been, never will go. To their knowledge right now, you know. And I was telling my brother, because I don't think he goes either. Really don't know if he's ever really liked going. That wasn't his cup of tea. But, you know, he's got grandkids that go every year. And then also in the very near upcoming future, I'm going to be trading my position here at the Ask Uncle Billy show for a different type position. I'm just going to be a campaign manager or something to that effect on the show. See who's going to be president of the television station or whatever it's all going to come to, you know, radio, TV, newspapers, all of that in a bag of chips. But I might stay as a host for at least one night a week. How is that? Well, we don't really actually know yet. Got to get some paperwork. But, yes. Lord, no, I work on Sunday. Hold on, let me play y'all a song.
I was getting ready to call you at this number.
Yeah.
What are you doing,
honey? Hold on.
Yeah.
One second.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
You know how it is when you have dual system playing. My sound and my desktop is not plugged up or something, so I had to put it up on both screens, and so now you know how it is on the afternoon when you wasn't gonna do nothing.
I got started
late and trying to get my music up on both of them and couldn't, so I just put it on one.
Right. Okay. You know what? I was calling to check and see if you got speak with your associate.
She called, but my cell phone was in the other room. I'm trying to multitask. Do something I'm not supposed to be doing and stuff. You know, trying to find out how to do music and how to put things together.
Right.
And left my phone.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because she was telling me how, you know, her time is being and, you know, that she spoke like she was over.
I understand wholeheartedly, but I left her a message and apologized, but I know what I got to do to get back in.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. You know, she probably needed that relief anyway.
She did. But I don't really do, though. You know, but she's trying to multitask, too, you know. She got a whole long road ahead of her. And I've been trying to inch off in and take some of that weight off of her anyhow, you know.
Yeah, well, I detected it with her that she's, you know, got a lot on her plate. And then I read the article that she wrote about, I think his name is George Curry. He passed.
He
was a great friend of hers. And, you know, when you can't do, if you're, especially when you're writing, and part of her focus was stating that, you know, she could always call him to give her some advice on whatever endeavor. And, you know, I had just read the article. You know, I told you that when you told me to call her. I had read the article. And, you know, so when she was saying that, I detected a whole lot of that. You know, it's just that stress and strain and everything that's going on around you, as well as what you have to get accomplished, too. So, you know, when you lose somebody like that, and you start putting your own life in perspective and saying, you know, hey, I have to give myself some time, you know, because time is short.
She ain't got to that part yet. she ain't got to that part yet.
It's coming. She's a female.
I'm trying to get to that part for her, though. But, you know, I really want to thank you for infringing for me, because it still helps. Like I said, it still helps. She do know that I want to talk to her about something very important. So,
you know I'm more than welcome. You know, I don't mind doing that. As a matter of fact, I got a chance to tell her how much I enjoy her articles. You know, I've been following her for years when she got here, basically. You know, she was a new kid on the block, so to speak, at the weekly. And, you know, it had always been one of our main publications in the hood, especially with me.
She's more online now than I want to be online like she is already. And so, pretty soon we're going to go on and get together, you know, she and I. We just, you know, it's so wide apart because of what we're both trying to achieve that it makes it kind of different. That's me. You know, I was writing tonight about, you know, just trying to let people know that there are some reasons to thank other people other than trying to criticize them all the time about not being what you thought they should be and stuff like that. That's what I was basically on tonight after my famous story got trampled under. The one I was telling you about at first, me being able to find a light at the end of the tunnel for the movie.
Right.
Yeah. I tried to put that story in, wrote it, got it all the way down, and then I had a little problem at the end, so I flipped it over, I thought, so that I could see what was the hold up, and the whole story went down the sink.
Wow.
So, I had to try to start over, and it wasn't the same. It just wasn't the same.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Oh, I couldn't save it or do nothing. That was one of the major problems. I couldn't save it, I couldn't do nothing. In my computer, even though it's not down, it's up. But I'm trying to set it up in a personal way so that it'll better benefit me. And I ain't got there yet. So it was just maddening. So I said, well, let me go and do this hour tonight and put in another show. And that's the show that I'm on now.
What's the title?
Tonight? Tonight's title is We Are Creatures of Habit. And by us being creatures of habits, you know, we all have our own consistencies like we do our idiosyncrasies. You know, you consistently like to write and read about things that you like and what you like to do. And other people might want to go drink a beer, you know, when they get some free time or whatever. And but then, you know, because you won't go do what they like to do, then they get kind of ticked off and go to talking. Well, you always doing so and so, so and so. And you try to tell them, well, that's what, because that's what I like to do. And then they can see their needs being met by going drinking beer and stuff, but they can't see your needs being met by you going and read. So, you know, it's a double whammy in there somewhere, as long as the other person gets that message that, you know, you're not the only person in the world. You know,
everybody has feelings
and stuff like that, but you can't see that right now because, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees. And see, the other night, I was telling somebody about land, and they were saying, well, you know, it's a lot of land in South Dallas. I said, no, it's more land in South Dallas than you can shake a stick at that's open for business, that could be purchased and done something great with. I said, but it's well hidden from people that don't want to go down there and see. Yeah, you can get a map and look at it by helicopter and all of that there, but it's best you drive through that area and look personally for yourself and see what's missing, what could be added and stuff like that. But, you know, and it's the same thing. That's what I like doing, you know. I like riding through South Dallas, just looking at some of the underdeveloped land and seeing some of the harvest that's coming up in areas that some people don't know in a couple of years is going to get ate up by progressive America and stuff like that, you know, because the rezoning and whatever else is going to come through is going to sweep it away. And, you know, if they're not looking at it like that, what they're looking at is, well, I got what I want out of it. Well, okay, you got to sell your house cheaper than you want to sell it, and probably for less than what it took you to actually put it up and move there. So, you know, and, you know, that kind of stuff. But I just like...
Okay, I got you on that. You know, everybody got their own way. And I'm turning into my mother now. You know, I used to listen to her give feedback on things that, you know, had an emotional side to it. And I turned into my mother to where I'm like, que sera, sera now. And some people would look at it as lackadaisical, but I look at it as reality.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not, it's a concern, but, you know, it's not one that I'm wholeheartedly concentrating on. I guess you could say that I'm dealing with my own personal health issues, financial issues, things like that, that are my own mortality, per se.
Right.
And I'm looking at, okay, you know, God got South Dallas, you know, he got the whole world in his hand, you know, and I'm like, hey, if we get something going, even, you know, just like Kaepernick and, you know, give us some respect out here in these streets, you know, slogans and things that are going on, you know, those type of things, you know, that's what was getting my interest more than anything. I'm getting a little bit one of those spurts of entering into a different age of the Black Power that we we grew up with, because I can see that, you know, there is an intelligence unit that is beginning to grow within the community. And I'm just hoping that it'll continue to grow, and I can see it grow, you know, and that these young people are getting that old black power feeling back again. I can feel it with them, you know, and that's what's interesting to me right now, you know, and that's just me.
Well, see, that's just because you are out there with them. You get to see them. You get to talk to them. You know, it's a lot of people. I'm talking about a lot of my old friends. Still scared of them. Still fear them, you know. And they got young nephews. They got young nieces and grandkids and stuff. And mm-hmm. I be asking myself, do you talk to your grandkids? Do you talk to your little nieces and nephews? You know,
yeah.
Do you talk to anybody outside of other old people? Because, you know, some of the stuff they be saying, you know, it's just ludicrous. You know,
you don't know
how to be around younger people or nothing. You don't, you know, and that's another reason I was writing what I'm writing. You know, like I had some, way back when, I tell you it was around 2005, 2006, 2007, right before I got my transplants. So it had to be, what, 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So when I was going down the bunker and playing the dominoes, which just before I met you.
Right.
I met you in 2008.
It was right around that. That's
right. Yeah. Well, see, I was going down there playing dominoes with them youngsters all the time. And, you know, having conversations and stuff on a regular basis, you know, having young dudes kind of threaten me by looking real hard and stuff like that, you know. And then, 5 minutes later, they find out who I am, and then, hey, Uncle Bill, you know. Yeah, with me all the time, nigga. You
right.
Know, and stuff like that. Yeah,
right.
And stuff like that. But, you know, for a while, you know, a lot of my old friends, man, they wouldn't come down there. And I tell them, I say, man, I'd be down there under the tree. And then after a while, you know, we had to stop playing under the tree. So we went on the park in front of the police station. We stopped going on the park in front of the police station. We went across the street in Buntown, you know, in the project. So, you know, just having fun.
Yeah.
But to me, it was just a lot of fun.
My cousin came and got me, when was it, Thursday after my birthday, and we just went and down to the lake and sat and talked, listened to some old music. And it was dark, and we were looking at, I got out and I walked out. Now, I've been on that lake and walked around even with my mama years ago. You remember that? But since they redid it, I walked around it hundreds of times. And for the first time, I noticed a tree, and I looked at the fruit that it was there. I said, now, what is this? And I went, and we looked at it, and then, like I said, it was dark, and then it was a young couple in the car next to us. And I said, I don't know what this is, you know, and I was telling her outside the car, so they heard. I said, let me see it. Then she said, my old man, he's from Louisiana. He said, that's a cinnamon tree. I said, what? He said, that's a cinnamon tree. So, of course, we got, you know, the phones and looked it up. And I'd be doggone, that's what it was, you know. And, you know, it's just amazing. We talk about what the wealth in the neighborhood or the hidden wealth. That was a real wake-up call on just how serious that their wealth, you know, something can be very, very important right up under your nose, but you don't even know what it is.
You know, some of the oldest trees in the state of Texas are dying on that lake.
Of course. Of course.
It's of historic value before they took down most of those pecan trees and stuff that's further on down there and on the side of the lake by Rochester Street and stuff. It's the old pecan orchard still down there, I believe. I haven't went down and checked.
Down
but
there with pecan thorns.
Yeah, they have it kind of like registered. You know how they do property and old
right.
stuff. They
right.
have it registered. One of the oldest trees in the state of Texas. It's down there somewhere. But you know, it's got. That's the reason I said when they renamed it Bill Blair, I wondered if the folk that. I didn't mind it being renamed Bill Blair because, you know, like I said, I didn't get a chance to see him play. I probably saw him and didn't know who he was because my
right.
uncle played. My uncle from Paris, Texas, used to come here and play baseball down there.
Right.
On the park
right.
With
right.
all of those old black players that used to come through. You know what I'm saying? And play
right.
against them and stuff. Like that. And so I got the chance to see a lot of them. And when my uncle was being buried, my uncle and my auntie, I remember seeing Pastor Bill Blair at their funeral, at both of them's funeral. And a couple of times when we were out at breakfast at Luby's, I tried to get to Mr. Blair and then try to ask him something about my uncle, you know, or something like that. I never could get the chance, and then he passed. So when I was talking to other people about my uncle and some
mm-hmm.
of the things that I was going to be doing, every time I mentioned the elite, I said, I'm going to go over to the elite and tell Bill Blair's people who I am and who my uncle was. Because their families was very close. You know what I'm saying? And so,
What you're talking about was that East Texas. Yeah, that East Texas connection.
Yeah.
You're talking about Paris, Texas. That's down there by Clarksville and, you know, all around there. I had dated a guy that went to Cheatham High. And a lot of them folks that was around from Clarksville, I went to Paris, Texas, and got me some shoes. He bought me some shoes, and I came back, told everybody I had some shoes, came from Paris. But anyway, you know, they say we all some kids, so kind of what? Whether your family is, you know, closely connected in one way or the other, because, you know, in those areas there was a marriage between their kid, their progeny, and the other progeny, you know, that double kin and all that kind of stuff. That's why a lot of people began to move around. Everybody they was meeting was their kinfolk. So, you know, we are so interrelated. It's just like when they start talking about, he's talking about down in the neighborhood, when you go down there and they go through, just like your family, we got Bunturn family, like what you were saying.
Yeah.
And when somebody died, like you and I were talking about, it's like, okay, you remember so-and-so? Now, that was so-and-so. Now, remember so-and-so? And so-and-so had a baby, and they was so-and-so. So they all came together, you know, in that way. So it was the same thing. So again, in a different perspective. But.
Well, see, when Pam's sister was young, was it Pam's sister? Yeah, when Pam's sister was young, she started going with, was it Pam's sister? I'm trying to make sure it was her. I think it was Pam's sister. She started going with a boy And she told Pam, you know, Pam stayed pretty much historically correct, you know, especially on the names in the family and how they were passed down and everything, how they went through. So she started going with this boy, and his last name was Lane. And Pam said, wait a minute, baby, what you say his last name was? And she said, Lane? And she said, wait a minute, baby, you can't do that. So you wait a minute, you go tell your mama you finna go start going with Elaine. And see, Pam's sister's mama had been married to Pam's daddy since she was 18. So she knew all of the ramifications of my mama being Elaine from birth and stuff like that there. And, you know, you don't marry inside the family. You know what I'm saying? You don't even do no dating. So they started talking, and, oh, man, they were going back and forward. I said, well, should I get it deep off in that and try to explain to them that they are really so close together, because all of the lanes that was left, is either our first cousin or our second cousin. So that's not that's not too far from being sisters and brothers. And well, why you want to say it like that? I said, cause God doggone if she marry him and he's our first cousin. I mean, he can't be the first. Your second cousin or your third cousin. That's too close. That's too close together. Cause y'all like sisters or brothers, kids, you know. Well, now you just getting too deep. I said, yeah. Oh, Lord, she's a drop on me. Well, y'all, that's going to be the cold weather show tonight. That was a good commentary, and it was fun because it was coming straight from sincerity. And I wonder if she's going to call back. I wonder if her phone dropped or she just got caught up in the mess. She was also married to somebody from my family. I'll holler. Hold on 1 second. Let me play you some more music.
Thank you. won't be able to see you anymore because of my obligations and the ties that you have. We've been meeting here every day. And since this is our last day together, I want to hold you just one more time. When you turn and walk away,
y'all don't understand that, but then y'all just got to, y'all got to. Those boys are from Dallas, Texas. Those are the Manhattan. all about. This show is sponsored by Mr. Al Watts and ALW Enterprises and the State Fair of Texas. This show has been honored tonight to present to you an opinion that goes all the way back in history to you like what you like what I like. And the conversation was great. So with that being said, y'all have a great evening. Knock this one out the park, knock it out for a home run. So guess what? It was all of that in a bag of chips. Y'all hear some Billy Paul after this one.
Feel so good when we're lying here next to each other. I sat here staring at